Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Arsenal's first place finish in the Premier League standings continues to be anything but safe, as they're only 6 points ahead of second place Manchester City. Manchester United keeps the winning streak alive and remains in the top four. Man U is now on a 4-game winning streak. Manchester City pulling off a huge win on the road against Liverpool, beating Liverpool twice this season as far as the Premier League campaign goes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Into the Net FC. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. Well, first things first, Manchester United getting the home win against Tottenham. Well, I've been saying during this 4-game winning streak not to get carried away, right? Now, I have to give Manchester United credit for a remarkable win against Tottenham, even though Tottenham is a horrible team. But you got to keep in mind, this is the same horrible Tottenham team that basically forced Manchester City to settle for a draw. So Manchester United got the win comfortably. And they did it actually in a very, very dominant and respectable fashion. Well, Manchester United was able to take advantage of the fact that Christian Romero got a straight red card within the first 30 minutes of the game. Unfortunately, that did not do Christian Romero any justice after based on that tackle, honestly, says that he basically a trip on Casemiro. Looking at it from here, it was a deliberate trip. I mean, at first it looked as though maybe a red card was not necessary, but seeing the replays from a close frame, from basically slow motion, yeah. I agree with the referee's decision to giving Christian Romero a straight red card. And like I said, this does not do any justice for Christian Romero. And it's unfortunate that the captain, Romero, the defender and the captain, being sent off in the 30-minute frame of the game, well, that's his second red card of the season. He was red carded in a game against Liverpool for a foul on Liverpool defender Ibrahima Konate. And you talk about the reputation of Christian Romero. I mean, the aggressiveness and then the high risks and basically the recklessness, you know, with these red cards. Like I said, it doesn't do him any justice. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say that Christian Romero is not a good player, because he's most definitely a very good player. But he's just a player with a reputation for recklessness and for basically getting himself into trouble as far as discipline goes. I mean, if he gets discipline like that, then people would say that he has a lack of discipline if he has a notoriety for being shown a red card. But now, Christian Romero is a good player, but it's obvious that Romero at times can be seen as a player with issues with his temper. So Manchester United obviously took advantage of it. And one of the interesting talking points of this game is that Manchester United had a goal taken away due to offside not once but twice. That seems to be a bit of an issue for Manchester United, right? You know, that big win over Manchester City. How many goals did Manchester United lose due to offside? What was it? 3? 4, something like that. Man. But Manchester United kept it together and they got the win against Tottenham. Mbeumo opened up the score about 8 minutes after Romero was sent off with an assist from Kobbie Mainoo. And in the 81st minute, Bruno Fernandes sealed the deal with an assist from Dalot to make it 2-0. So once again, it's incredible to see that Manchester United are scoring goals with an assist, which shows that the team is still thriving under the use of teamwork and team chemistry. So Manchester United are winning as a team, and that is what's really important. It's teamwork that makes the dream work. So it's great to see that Manchester United are trusting one another. They're performing well all together as a team. And Michael Carrick, as the manager for the time being, is doing a great job. And speaking of Michael Carrick, should it be considered that he has made the full-time the manager permanently? And this is a serious question. This is not a rhetorical question. This is a serious question. Should Manchester United consider making Michael Carrick the permanent manager for Manchester United? Well, if things continue to go well, then I wouldn't see why not. Now, if Manchester United finishes so well that they finish at the top four spot in the Premier League, which qualifies them to the Champions League next season, Manchester United would have to consider naming Michael Carrick as the permanent manager for the club. Because if Michael Carrick and the players have a great chemistry and great trust within each other, well, it would be a serious mistake to kill that. So I would honestly say that Michael Carrick, if the performances continue to be strong and Manchester United continues to win, then there's no doubt in my mind that Michael Carrick would have to be considered as the permanent manager at Manchester United. But again, this is a serious question, and obviously this is something, definitely something for the Manchester United management and ownership to consider. Well, you look at the stats. Tottenham put up a bit of a fight, but only one shot on target. So Manchester United's defense didn't really have to deal with much of a threat. Manchester United only had 10 shots on target and made only two of them count. So that's a little bit of a frustrating issue for Manchester United to have 10 shots on target and only be able to score twice. Now, you're not going to score every time, but then again, Manchester United had two goals taken away due to offside. So that's frustrating as well. So a little bit of misses on scoring opportunities for Manchester United was a little bit of a talking point in this one, but then again, Manchester United still got the job done. Well, zero corners for Tottenham and seven for Manchester United. So now I'm curious to see the saves. Eight saves by the Tottenham goalie. And looking from the replays, yeah, the Tottenham goalie made a number of fantastic saves. The Manchester United goalie only made one. I believe that's Lammens is his name, the young goalie from Belgium. 9 clearances by Tottenham's defense and 6 by Manchester United. 20 interceptions by the Tottenham defense and 7 by Manchester United. So obviously the Tottenham defense had their hands full, but the Tottenham defense was still able to make somewhat of an impact by registering 9 clearances and 20 interceptions. So Manchester United basically did their best. I mean, they gave Tottenham hell, and Tottenham honestly kind of basically was able to counter to the best of their ability. So I can honestly say that Manchester United versus Tottenham was quite an entertaining game based on the stats. But the Tottenham attack was not able to produce anything, so Manchester United did not really have to deal with much of a threat, as I had just said. So, looking at it from here, well, both teams a combined 27 free kicks and 15 clearances combined and 27 interceptions. But with the clearances and the interceptions, well, Tottenham was able to flourish a little bit more. But then again, the Tottenham attack did not show up. So you cannot discredit Manchester United for not having much clearances and much interceptions. So Manchester United's defense honestly was able to keep things well intact because the Tottenham offense, or attack if you want to say, just was not there. Well, looking at things from there, well, no counterattacks from both teams. So yeah, quite the entertaining game. And Manchester United dominated ball possession, and well, that usually doesn't guarantee anything, but Manchester United ultimately just seemed to be the better team in basically almost every single aspect. But Tottenham's defense was basically able to, all the clearances and the interceptions. But then again, we can't discredit Manchester United's defense because, the Tottenham attack just simply did not show up. Well, Mbeumo and Fernandes both scored for Manchester United, and both with an assist. Well, look at the formations. The formations were a little bit similar. Both teams went with 4 defenders, but Manchester United went with 2 midfielders, and Tottenham also went with, Tottenham went with 3 midfielders, and Manchester United went with 3 forwards, Tottenham with 2 forwards, and both teams had a sole striker. And Mbeumo was the sole striker for Manchester United, and Solanke was the sole striker for Tottenham. In the backfield for Tottenham, you had Gray, the captain Romero, Van de Ven and Udogi. And the backfield for Manchester United, we had Lisandro Martinez, Harry Maguire, Dalot, and Luke Shaw. And of course, Lammens was, in the goalie position. In the midfield, you had Kobbie Mainoo and Casemiro. And then the front three in front of them, Cunha, the captain, Bruno Fernandes, and Amad Diallo, and Mbeumo, again, once again, as a sole number nine striker. For Tottenham's midfield, we saw Gallagher, Paulinho, and Sarr. And in front of them, you had Simmons and Odegaard, and of course, Solanke, who was deployed as the sole striker. So Manchester United and Tottenham, based on the formations, Manchester United and Tottenham were obviously committed to basically being able to provide a stronger attack, but also be able to be balanced. But while they were committed to the attack, both teams were able to find a way to be able to strive on defense as well. So both teams came into this game, and based on the lineup, based on how they were on the formation was and how the team was organized, both teams were committed to being balanced, being able to excel on the attack and on the defense. And that's what that's a bit of what we saw from Manchester United and Tottenham. Again, the attack was nowhere to be found. So, although Lammens didn't make one save, but that's just about it. So it was a bad day. It was really a bad day for Tottenham. But Manchester United got the win, and Manchester United continues to keep things going, but they're still under a tremendous amount of pressure, and I'll explain why when we get to the standings. But for now, I want to take a look at the game between Liverpool and Manchester City. You know, to be honest, those are the two games I'm most interested in, but there's also something else I got to talk about, and it involves Chelsea, but we'll get to that in a second. Well, I can say, as far as I'm concerned with Liverpool, well, Liverpool had one job, and they didn't get it done. Liverpool just continues to basically show just weaknesses and struggle, and basically everyone is asking, I mean, are they like just considered like just bad defending Premier League champions? Well, that basically remains to be seen. Well, unfortunately, Dennis Szoboszlai, in the same game where he scores yet another beautiful free kick, is shown a red card at the end of the game. Man. Szoboszlai opened the score for Liverpool in the 74th minute. Once again, a beautiful, beautiful goal from a free kick. That kick was incredible. Absolutely incredible. 10 minutes later, Bernardo Silva equalizes for Manchester City with an assist from Erling Haaland, who, by the way, Erling Haaland scored the game-winning goal off of a penalty in the 3rd minute of stoppage time. Erling Haaland converted that penalty in a very beautiful fashion. But then again, that's Erling Haaland for you. Scoring in unique ways. Erling Haaland, in a nutshell. Score in magnificent and unique ways. So Liverpool, I think, is now down in 6th. Because I looked at it before I did this episode. But again, we'll get to the standings a little bit soon. But Liverpool just continues. I mean, I thought Liverpool would actually have a chance of getting this one done. And I could have sworn, you know, I think I saw that this is the first time in a very long time that Liverpool has failed to beat Manchester City in a Premier League campaign. Now, in the first meeting, Manchester City obliterated Liverpool 3-0. So, Manchester City getting the better of Liverpool this season. Well, that's very frustrating for Liverpool fans. And where Liverpool sit right now in the Premier League standings, that would mean no Champions League and no Europa League. So, yeah. And if Liverpool were to fail to qualify for either one, that would be catastrophic for the club and, of course, for the fan base. Although this happened not long ago, but I think a few years or so ago, Liverpool qualified for the Europa League, but not the Champions League. But no, Liverpool fans and Liverpool, they want the Champions League next season. But right now, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Well, obviously, this is a rally come from behind win for Manchester City, equalizing in the 84th minute and scoring the game winner in the 3rd minute of stoppage time. And Szoboszlai getting a red card late in stoppage time, well, that means that Szoboszlai is going to serve at least a 1-game suspension. Now, I tried to look at the highlights before I did this episode, but since I'm doing this episode about an hour after the game ended, obviously the highlights, they weren't available. I kept checking and checking and refreshing, but they weren't there. But you know, gotta get the show out as soon as I can, because I am on a schedule, ladies and gentlemen. But Liverpool, you know, would start out great, and then you know, giving up these late goals. I mean, man, another frustrating loss for Liverpool. Well, looking at the stats, well, 5 saves by Liverpool goalie Alisson and 3 by Gianluigi Donnarumma. So both goalies had a very respectable performance. 5 saves by Alisson and 3 by Donnarumma. although a combined 5 defensive errors for both teams, 3 for Liverpool and 2 for Manchester City. Manchester City had 19 clearances while Liverpool had 14, 14 interceptions by Manchester City and 8 by Liverpool. So defensive performances are strongly noted in this one, especially in the clearances. But when we take a look at the shots on target, Manchester City had 7 and Liverpool had 4. So much like Manchester United, in Manchester City's case in this game, in this win, it's a case of missed opportunities. Although at the end of the day, some would say it's irrelevant to say that because Manchester City got the win, which they did. Same thing goes for Manchester United. So Manchester United had 10 shots on target and made only 2 of them count. Manchester City had 7 shots on target and made 2 of them count. So again, a case of missed opportunities for both Manchester teams, but they both got the win. And well, for Liverpool, well, their goal, you know, came from a free kick, which is good. But I still feel like Liverpool, you know, really feel like Liverpool could have and should have won this game. So for Liverpool, in their case, it's coulda, woulda, well, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Would've, could've, should've. If that makes sense. If that's how that whole thing goes. But again, bottom line for Liverpool is just basically a very painful loss. Well, looking at the lineups for this one, well, I was curious to see. Well, the lineups always, you know, speak for themselves, especially in a game of this caliber. Well, a little bit of a similar formation for both. I mean, both teams, again, much like Tottenham and Manchester United, both teams settled with 4 defenders. But Liverpool went with 2 midfielders, while Manchester City went with 1. And both teams had 3 forwards. And of course, Liverpool had one sole striker. And Manchester City, Pep Guardiola, took an approach to have two in the front attack. You had Haaland side by side with Omar Marmoush. And of course, Bernardo Silva, the captain, was right behind them, along with O'Reilly and Semenyo. And you had Rodri as the sole midfielder for Manchester City. And in Manchester City's backfield had Gueye, Kusanov, Nunez, and a player by the name of Ait Nouri. And of course, Donnarumma in the goalie position. Hugo Ekitike was deployed as a sole striker for Liverpool, and behind him you had Gakpo, Wirtz, and Mohamed Salah. In the midfield, you had Gravenberch and McAllister. And I hope I said it correctly. I always forget if it's Gravenberch or Gravenberch, so I apologize for mispronouncing. But you had Gravenberch and McAllister in the midfield for Liverpool. In the backfield, you had, of course, the captain, Virgil van Dijk, Ibrahima Konate, and Denis Szoboszlai, along with Kerkez and Becker in the goalie position. Of course, Szoboszlai ended up getting a straight red card very late in the game, which is very unfortunate for him and for Liverpool. Which means he's again going to serve at least one game suspension. So, well, let's see how that goes. So the lineups, you know, were loaded, and again, you know, this really could have been anybody's game. But again, you know, because of Liverpool's inability to kind of finish strong at times, I mean, some would say that Manchester City truly had the chance. So Manchester City took their chance, and it obviously worked out well for them. But as I look at Liverpool's matches, you know, as of late, I mean, as I said, you know, the struggles continue. As I look at it from here, well, you know, in the last game in the Premier League was a 4-1 win over Newcastle. So before that, there was that 3-2 loss on the road against AFC Bournemouth. And of course, in the Champions League, there was that 3-0 win over Marseille on the road. So, yeah, so Liverpool has just really not been good as of late in Premier League play. The Champions League has obviously been a bit of a different story, but it's not really been a good year so far to start. Well, this particular year, 2026 has not really been off to a good start for Liverpool. I mean, January 1st, they settled for a scoreless draw at home against Leeds United. And then there was a 2-2 draw on the road against Fulham FC. And then a scoreless draw on the road against Arsenal, which would be considered a win for Liverpool. But then, you know, a tie with Burnley. And then that loss to AFC Bournemouth. Yeah. Premier League play has not been pleasant for Liverpool since 2026 started. So, same can be said by Manchester City, but again, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. Well, this game, Chelsea. Well, Obviously, Chelsea getting the win. Well, I can also say, well, good for them, because you know, it would have been absolutely humiliating for Chelsea to suffer a loss against the worst team in the Premier League, which would be Wolverhampton. But the story for this one is Cole Palmer scoring a hat trick, and Cole Palmer now officially holds the record for the most Premier League hat tricks for Chelsea, as he now has 4 hat tricks for Chelsea in Premier League play. I mean, and he's achieved that in just three seasons with Chelsea. I mean, Cole Palmer started off with Manchester City. So Cole Palmer holding the record for the most Premier League hat-tricks for Chelsea with 4, achieved in just 3 seasons. He surpasses legends like Didier Drogba and Frank Lampard. Wow. Who both scored 3 Premier League hat-tricks for the club. So, man. And Palmer is also the first to score 3 first-half hat-tricks in Premier League history. Wow. So not only does Cole Palmer now hold the record for most Premier League hat-tricks for Chelsea, he is the first player to score 3 first-half hat-tricks in Premier League history. I mean, ESPN basically confirmed it. And Cole Palmer, I guess we can say that Cole Palmer's performance, his hat-tricks in the 3-1 win over Wolverhampton, I guess we can say that it was very cold, if you know what I mean. Man. 4th hat trick for the team, setting a new club in his side's 3-1 win over Wolverhampton. Man. Ugh, and once again, Palmer's 4th for the club in the Premier League in just 3 years. Of course, he surpasses the likes of Drogba and Lampard, who all managed 3 during their long careers in West London. So in 3 years, Cole Palmer breaks the record for most hat tricks in Premier League play for Chelsea. That's incredible. Quite frankly, that is cold for Cole Palmer. Man. Well, according to ESPN, this is how they explain the situation in a paragraph. And I quote, "It proved to be an afternoon to remember in more ways than one for Palmer, whose hat trick ranked as Chelsea's 3rd fastest in Premier League history with 38 minutes. He also holds the record for fastest, 29 minutes versus Everton, and 2nd fastest, 31 minutes against Brighton." So basically, Cole Palmer's hat tricks happened to be really, really quick. Basically, two of them within a frame of half an hour. And once again, it also saw Palmer become the first player in Premier League history to register 3 first half hat tricks in the first half. Yeah, that is cold. And not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. Cole Palmer just continues to make an impact for Chelsea. Man. And not to mention that Palmer also overtook John Terry into 2nd for most goals scored by English players for Chelsea at 44. As a matter of fact, Cole Palmer is already, I think, now is in the top 10 for goals scored by Chelsea in Premier League play. As we know, the record for most goals scored by Chelsea in Premier League play is held by Frank Lampard, who scored a total of 147 goals for Chelsea in Premier League play. Well, as far as I'm concerned, well, Cole Palmer, I think, would have a chance to break that record. Palmer, as we know, 23 years old. He's going to turn 24 in May. So if Cole Palmer continues to score goal after goal after goal after goal in the Premier League and even continues to put hat tricks, well, then you know what? I would say that within 2 years, Cole Palmer will probably break that record. But we'll have to wait and see. But Palmer just continues to make such an illustrious impact at Stamford Bridge. So basically a great way to put the name in the history books for Manchester's, excuse me, for Chelsea. But of course, the top scorers all time. I mean, Frank Lampard is Chelsea's all-time leading scorer with 211. Now, keep in mind, that's basically all competition. That's Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League, overall. So the record for Chelsea's all-time leading goal scorer, that's Frank Lampard with 211 in a total of 648 appearances between 2001 and 2014. So, again, you look at the Premier League, just to clarify, because some people are getting it confused, because I mentioned that Cole Palmer is in the top 10. Now, this is in Premier League goals. And as I said, Frank Lampard also is Chelsea's all-time leading scorer in Premier League play with 147. And Palmer is at number 8 with 44, and he recently surpassed John Terry. So the top three in most goals for Chelsea in Premier League play are Lampard, Drogba, who was at 104, and Eden Hazard, who's at 85. So Cole Palmer just, again, continues to build and improve and succeed in his potential. He basically, I would say so far, Palmer has definitely overachieved. I mean, he came to Stamford Bridge already as a massive achiever. So, and Palmer's not even in his prime yet. So Cole Palmer has basically, all I can say is we've probably seen nothing yet. He's accomplished so much already. I mean, again, four Premier League hat-trick goals, if I'm correct. Yeah, four. And he achieved that in three seasons. So, and he surpassed Drogba and Lampard. Both of them had three, and that was their career overall. So I can honestly say that as far as I'm concerned with Cole Palmer, very likely we have not seen anything yet. Wow. All right. Well, now we can take a look at the Premier League standings. As I mentioned at the beginning, Arsenal is still on top at 6 points ahead of second place Manchester City. Manchester City is not going away. Erling Haaland is the current top scorer in the Premier League. I don't know if his stat has updated yet, because right now, as I see it, he's at 21, but he's at over 20 goals, and we know that for sure. And he's basically got a bit of a margin. He's at least like 4 goals ahead. So Erling Haaland is the solidified top scorer right now. Well, as I mentioned, Christian Romero, well, he leads the league so far with red cards. He's at 2. So, well, Dominic Szoboszlai says right here that he's got one already, and I'm not sure if they're mentioning the one that he got against Manchester City or if it's going to be added soon, but yeah. We look at the assists. Bruno Fernandes is still on top with the assists. And Ryan Cherki is in second, and Erling Haaland is in third as well. So you have Manchester players in the top three as far as assists. 2 for City and then 1 from Manchester United. So Manchester City is in second. Aston Villa remains in third, and Manchester United remains in fourth. But as I mentioned earlier, that Manchester United is not safe by any means, because they're only 1 point ahead of Chelsea. And where Chelsea is sitting right now, they would qualify for the Europa League group stage. And where Liverpool is sitting right now in sixth, that would mean no Champions League and no Europa League, and that would not be a good look for Liverpool. But Liverpool is 4 points behind fifth place Chelsea. So if Manchester United and Chelsea were to continue to win and win and win, obviously both of them would finish ahead of Liverpool. But right now there's a battle going on between Manchester United and Chelsea for the fourth place spot in the Premier League. Because as we know, the fourth place spot in the English Premier League is the final spot for the Champions League next season. Both teams want to qualify for the Champions League. At the same time, at least, you know, if this Premier League would have finished today, well, Manchester United would be in the Champions League and Chelsea would be in the Europa League. So at the same time, at least both teams are qualified for some European competition. But both teams want to compete in the Champions League. That's what's important to them. Well, looking at the matches moving forward, so the only ones this week that I was interested in talking was Liverpool and Manchester City, but I was glad I was able to mention Chelsea's 3-1 win on the road against Wolverhampton. Of course, Cole Palmer's hat-trick, you know, which is very cold. And when I say it's very cold, that means it was very cool. It was fantastic. So you'll get match day 26. Tottenham will take on Newcastle. Chelsea will take on Leeds United. Manchester United on the road against West Ham. Well, Liverpool on the road against Sunderland, so there's no excuses for Liverpool there. And Arsenal on the road against Brentford. Well, looking at Manchester City, well, Manchester City is at home against Fulham. So, yeah, if Arsenal does not get the win, and Manchester City very likely will get the win, if Arsenal doesn't get the win, well, Manchester City is just only inching closer and closer and closer. So I talk about Manchester United being in a predicament. Well, I can honestly say Arsenal is in a predicament as well. And, but, you know, so know, everything coming up, you know, we talk about match day 27. I mean, we're getting a little bit ahead. I mean, Manchester City will take on Newcastle, and Liverpool will be on the road against Nottingham. Arsenal will take on Tottenham in a London derby. Well, I don't see Manchester United's match, but I just know that Manchester United will in fact play. Oh yeah, Manchester United will take on Everton on the road, so I think that's a trap game because Everton has given Manchester United a lot of hell before, and Chelsea will take on Burnley on the 21st of this month. So yeah, we're getting to the point where the matches are more delicate than ever. So the likes of Manchester United, Chelsea, and Arsenal, and even Manchester City, they all have to win in order to solidify a good spot. And Manchester City would love nothing more than to steal the Premier League title from Arsenal right at the end in the closing weeks of the Premier League season. But Arsenal is determined to finally secure it, but they have a long road ahead. And Manchester United has a long road ahead if they're to secure a spot in the top four in order to qualify for the Champions League. The same thing goes for Chelsea. And Manchester City, well, a second place finish would probably not be enough for them because they want some hardware and they want to win the Premier League once again. So, well, where we are in the Premier League now, the competition only gets higher and higher and higher. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens because anything can happen. Ladies and gentlemen, Into the Net FC is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would please, hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.